If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Amen. Those of you that were here last week, we started a message that we got into a little ways, and I promised to finish it sooner or later, and it's going to be sooner than later. Let's just put it this way. I'm going to attempt to finish it. Amen. Last week, we got through the introduction and was headed into the sermon. So hopefully we'll make it through there. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with a trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would touch this house with the power of your grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, "Hey, you're beautiful." And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Now, I talked to you last week, and I'm going to bring you up to speed real quick. Like, the children of Israel have been in the wilderness. A 2-week journey has not taken them 40 years, because it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the children that left Egypt, and it took that long. It didn't take it but one night to get them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Amen. And some of us have been going in circles in our relationship with God because we're hanging on to some of Egypt instead of letting go of it. And just so you'll understand, according to Paul's writing, you realize that out of the several million that left Egypt, only 2 crossed into the promised land. Not 2 million, but 2 people. Glory. The Bible said they all did drink of the same spiritual rot which followed them in the wilderness, which was Jesus Christ. But many of them died in the wilderness. Matter of fact, all but 2 of them died in the wilderness. All the people that crossed into the promised land were the ones born in the wilderness who were born without Egypt in them. Glory. Hello? They were there believing and trusting in God. And so God opened the door for them. Can you imagine what would have happened if Joshua had come back across the river telling everybody his plan for taking the city? "Well, we're going to march around the thing 13 times and yell, and the walls are going to fall." Good thing he didn't tell them till he got them over there around the city, because by that time it was too late to turn back. Because had he said that, they would have looked at him and said, "The guy has brain poisoning or something." Because let me give you a little idea, folks. Those walls were big enough they could race chariots around the top of like 3 wide. If they fall this way, you still got to climb over them. Do you know we have archaeological experts now that say those walls just went down in the ground like an elevator? That's why they didn't have to climb over them. When they said the walls fell down flat, they just went into the ground. They've actually excavated some of it and said the walls just literally settled into the ground. Somebody said, "What happened?" Well, you got to understand, while God is up, you got to be quiet. Hello? Read your Bible. God stood and there were silence in heaven. Why? Because when God stands, nobody can speak. That's why he told them, "Don't say a word while you're walking around the city," because the host of heaven was walking in front of them. On that 7th day, they went around 7 times. He said, at the end of that 7th trip, "All I want you to do is sound the trumpets and shout." And before they shouted, he sat down so they could shout. And he sat on the corner of the building and just sat down in the ground. Glory. That's Ken Stroop theology. You can believe that or not. But it went down in the ground and they took the city. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. Somebody said, "Well, that's great preaching, but what are you getting at?" Notice something. Amen. They've got this thing going on, and they're trying to get to those things that God wants them to have. But notice what this is. God promised them something. I told you last week how Jericho could be preached as first fruits. God said, "I'm going to give you Jericho, but don't take nothing from it. Give it all back to me, and what's going to happen? I'm going to give you the rest of the promised land." Hello? How many of you understand they went in, took Jericho, left, went to take the next city, and 10,000 Jews died because somebody wasn't truthful? Next time you think you can't put a curse on the whole body, realize there were people died because Achan stole. They didn't do a thing wrong, but because there was sin in the camp and people were not being faithful with God, the whole camp suffered. And God said, this guy got a wedge of gold and a garment from Jericho that he kept for his wife. And now let me tell you something, church. Y'all need to realize, I'm not trying to browbeat you about this thing, but the first fruits is what God promised. Give it to me, I'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give to you. Amen. But if you're not faithful to God, you'll pay for it. Achan and his whole family had to be killed, but when that happened, then God gave them the other 30-something cities of the promised land, and they took them through the power of God's grace. Could you say amen? Whew. What an awesome thing. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's this got to do with me? It's got to do with you understanding that there's more to this than what I just talked to you about. That's why I want to move on. Jericho's a battle that you're going to fight before you get to the possessions and to get to the things God really wants you to have. Could you say amen? Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that the weapons of our warfare, where it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Now the Bible also says in the book of Ephesians, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if our warfare is not a carnal warfare and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons, then therefore our Jericho is not going to be a physical building or a city or something in this life, but it is a spiritual representation of what we've got to overcome if we're going to make it. Praise God. Write this down. Stroop Book of Theology, page 1. Your Jericho is your mind. If you don't win the battle of your mind, then you're not going to win the battle of what God wants to do in your life. You say, preacher, you can't prove this. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me. But this is your reasonable service. But be not conformed, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What are you talking about? It's how we think. The enemy knows the mind's a stronghold. Amen. If we can get the victory over our mind, we can make it. Amen. Worry about other things and worry about things in our life, and it messes it up because we're so busy worrying we can't believe God. Listen to what Proverbs 23 said. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hello? You think you're whipped? You're whipped. You think you can't make it? You can't make it. You start thinking you can do it, you can do stuff you never thought you could do when you start believing you could do it. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Come on, that's good preaching. Amen. Praise God. Listen, Philippians 2:5. Let the mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, we got folks in the church that got saved but didn't get rid of their old mentality. They're still walking around with stinking thinking. Hello? Something goes wrong and your mind says, oh, that can't be. In Christ it can. If thou canst but believe, all things are possible unto them that believeth. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I can tell you this morning, if you can overcome and win the battle of your mind, there is victory, victory, victory in Jesus Christ unto those who can overcome that enemy. Come on, church. See, when you look at it that way, then you begin to realize Joshua 6 and 1 a whole lot better. It tells us this. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you got it locked up so bad in your mind. Can't nobody get in and can't nothing get out. Glory. granted, there's some things in your mind you don't want to get out. Smile. I got tickled one time. I was talking with some kids, and I told them that they were scared of the dark. One of them jumped up and said, "I ain't scared of nothing, preacher." I said, "You know, I used to be stupid as you are." And then I realized everybody's afraid of the dark. It's just a matter of how much dark it takes to get you afraid. So what are you talking about? Because every one of us has a subconscious. And at some point, it'll get dark enough, our subconscious opens up, and you don't know what's going to come out of it. Come on, church. Amen. You ever been around somebody that's been under anesthesia? You can ask them stuff, and they're honest with you. They'll talk about stuff that they've been dreaming, and they'll think it's just as real. Come on, church. So I can say, well, right now, say, I'm going to put my wife to sleep, start asking questions. Glory. The truth of the matter is our subconscious opens and we don't know what's coming out. I remember one time I got in a closet just to prove my point. I told them I wasn't afraid of the dark, and they stuck me in the closet, and they finally got it dark enough. I started feeling, you know, spiders crawling on me, and I heard a snake hissing. They wasn't nothing in that closet but me, but I couldn't convince myself that after a while. And, you know, they told me I couldn't get that door open, but I did. Glory. Because my mind began to control my body. Hello? But now notice this. The gates were closed. You say, wait a minute, preacher. What had them closed up? It was the walls. The walls was the problem. You couldn't get through the walls. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Everybody's got walls. Say, what are you talking about? Walls are what we build to protect ourselves from future pain. Hello? You know, somebody hurts us, so we put up a wall, so that ain't never going to happen again. And we get that wall up, and boy, we get it mortared up, and we get it bricked. We got low self-esteem, so we put up a wall, so we won't have to deal with it. Somebody gives us a problem, we put up a wall. But the problem is our walls get so thick that nobody can get through the wall to help us. And we're so busy trying to protect ourselves that we keep everybody out. Nothing gets in, but we can't get out either. And the very things we thought were going to protect us begin to imprison us. And it's not long until we're stuck inside the wall. God can't get in. The blessings can't get in. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can get to you. You've cut yourself off from everybody. And for that reason, we need to say, God, let me tear down some walls this morning. Let me open up my mind to your glory. Let me let the power of your love come in and touch me. Could you say amen? People get married and they put up walls. And it's not long to the relationship shatters because you can't hug a wall. Try it. Don't get nothing out of it either. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Might be, but I just told you the truth. Man, I'll never forget when my daddy decided I need to learn how to swim. I thought I was pretty good. I could swim underwater. But I couldn't stay on top. So my daddy takes me to a place where he knows I can't touch bottom. And he throws me in. You got to understand something about my daddy. He never panicked. If he said he wasn't coming after you, you could bang on it. I went under the first time. I got me a deep breath, and I swam under the water for a while. I come up, got me another breath, swam a while. Finally, I realized he took me to a place where I couldn't get to a place to get out. I kept doing that, and sooner or later, I got to where I couldn't get enough breath to stay under. And I went under. And I come up, and my mind said, Daddy ain't gonna let me drown. I come up a second time, and now I am starting to empty this creek. Some of y'all ain't figured that out yet. But I'm taking in more water than I am air. And suddenly, my mind goes, Daddy ain't coming. And my mind went crazy. And all of a sudden, I could hear him out of the side of my ears. I caught the top of that water saying, reach out and pull. I reached out, started pulling. Next thing you know, the very thing that was trying to take me down started lifting me up. And all of a sudden, I realized I ain't got to go under. I can stay on top long as I keep pulling and start moving my feet. And next thing you know, I'm swimming all over the place. Some of y'all said, boy, that's horrible. That's the way we used to do it. Now we got to send them down to the Y and let them do it politically correct. And when the kids get through and you spend $300 or $400, they still can't swim without water wings. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Might have been a little drastic, but I learned real quick, ain't nothing going to help me but me. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. You get in that kind of situation, you can get inspiration. I don't know about y'all, but anytime I think I'm hurting me, I get upset with me. Oh, don't look at me like that. I am the president, chief operating officer, head guy of the Ken Stroop fan club. I love me. I love those that love me. I've been married 35 and a half years because Frida loves me and I do too. I'm getting an amen. Glory. And when I started going under, that bothered me, but it didn't bother me half as bad as it used to bother me sitting on the bank watching my brother swim when I couldn't. And we got a lot of folks that are hanging around the church mad because somebody else is getting something they ain't getting, when if you just get your mind in the right place, you might could get on top of the very thing that's taking you down. Glory. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you may have missed it. I'll repeat it. The very thing that was trying to take me to the bottom was the very thing that began to lift me up when I began to get my thinking straight. Can I tell you, in the sight of God, and if we can just get God loose in our life, he said, let God arise and your enemies will then be scattered. Could you say amen? See, even though Rahab was behind the walls, she had faith. Can I tell you, just because you've got yourself blocked in don't mean you got to give up. Rahab had faith. Notice what the Bible says about her in Hebrews. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now let's face it, church. If Rahab come to church, some of you ladies wouldn't let her sit on your row. I mean, she wasn't raised in church. Maybe y'all missed what it said about her. I had somebody tell us, well, she run a motel. They was men stayed there all night, but it wasn't no motel. Hello? Somebody go, what's he talking about? Bible said she was a harlot. That's a prostitute in nowadays terms. A lady of the evening. But she believed in God and gave the spies a place to stay. And because of that, God said, when you go in the city, just let her and her household live. They're the only ones that can live, but don't kill them because she's been faithful. I'm going to do something with her. Come on, church. Smile at me. See, some of them say, no, preacher, people like that can't get saved. You did, didn't you? I wasn't like that. You was a sinner. It doesn't matter what bad sinner you are. A sinner's a sinner. It don't make no difference if it's a small sinner or a big sin. We all had to find forgiveness. Come on, church, smile at me. Next time you want to stick your old self-righteous nose in the air, keep reading about that lady. Say, what are you talking about? I see where one of the guys in the pants turns around to Joshua and says, you know, that's a nice looking woman. I sure would like to marry and make an honest woman out of her. He said, go ahead. So Solomon marries this woman, Rahab. They have a son named Boaz. In case y'all want to read the lineage, it's in Matthew chapter 1. Because of her faithfulness, Rahab became a great-great-great-great-grandmama of a guy named Jesus Christ. So next time you want to stick your nose in the air, realize when God gets a hold of people, it doesn't matter about where they come from or how they got there. All that matters is they get the walls torn down, God gets in their life, and their life becomes something different when God moves in. Woo! My Lord. Jesus told us, I come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. Y'all know I like cowboy movies. One of my favorite things is, if you don't come out, we're going to come in there and get you. I always thought that dumb. If you stay out here long enough, they're going to run out of food. Sooner or later, they got to come out. But they wouldn't wait. They'd start shooting and run down there and break in on them. And some of them get killed, but they'd get them. Well, I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes God gets up and says, hey, either you come out or I'm coming in. Hello? Come on, church. Some of y'all may not experience that, but I remember when God came, got me. Come on, church. I'm a drug addict, alcoholic. I don't care about nobody. At that time, I wasn't even in love with me. I actually tried to kill myself. And then God found a way to steer me to a church, and I ended up getting saved, and now I'm your pastor. Come on. So next time somebody wants to talk about God can't save him kind, you got one preaching to you. Come on, church. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that God brought me out and washed me up and cleaned me up and gave me a new life, that he finally got all them walls I stuck up to keep everybody out, and he took them out of the way. I see Paul and Silas in jail, and the Bible said about midnight that jail started shaking. You say, preacher, that was to get them out? No. God shook the jail so he could get in, and he went in where they were, and he gave them a revival. Can I tell you? If we get a hold of God, God will come to where we are to bring us out. God will meet you in the middle of your trouble. Glory. If God is coming for you, who's going to come against you? When the walls were crumbling down, there were still people on the inside that had to be killed. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? God saves us, cleans us up. But there's still some things in us we got to get rid of. We got to slowly but surely, methodically, turn the corner and start killing some stuff that needs to be gotten out so we can purify our Jericho. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? There's some things you can't quit doing because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. I turned over a new leaf. Doesn't matter. I've noticed when a tree loses a leaf, you don't watch it, it'll grow another right back in this place. Just like the one that fell. Have you not noticed that when people mess up, it's usually the same dumb stuff that gets them because they didn't get rid of the limb that the leaves were growing on? Sometimes you got to purge your brain. If you can't watch TV without watching the wrong thing, get rid of the TV. Well, preacher, that's kind of short. Well, that's exactly what Focus on the Family says. If you can't go to a move motel without watching something on TV, you ain't supposed to. Get a motel room without a TV. Hello? If you can't keep from drinking, quit going to the bar. Well, that's good preaching. Come on, church. There was people inside Jericho who still represented the enemy of God that had to be gotten rid of. And some of you, the problem you got is you've gotten saved, you've gotten into church, you're trying to do right, but there are things in your life you hadn't got rid of that keep slipping back up and pulling you down and taking you apart. And as long as they're there, you're never going to get out of Jericho, and you're never going to see the promises of God. But if you will just do what God said, put them to death, give it to God. I got a God that'll bring you out, that will set you up right and make you an overcomer in his power. Whew, that's good preaching. Lord. The walls will come down. When we get together, we can bring the walls down. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? What would really happen, church, if everybody in this building got one mind, one accord? If we all got in the same canoe, paddling in the same way, could we not move down the river a whole lot better? Ooh. See, we got to get to that point where it's not about who's Sunday school teacher or who's doing this, who's doing it. All that matters is it's getting done, and we're moving, and we're seeing people saved, and we're seeing God move. Some of you got loved ones you want to see saved for years, and you keep waiting on somebody to come get them. Go get them. Who ought to be able to get them to church? You or somebody ain't never met? If it's somebody ain't never met, maybe you need to get you somewhere and get in the mirror and take a long look and find out why you can't talk to them people. Oh, church, that's good preaching. See, some of y'all may have some stuff in your Jericho you ain't got rid of, and them other people see it because you don't want to see it, because you don't want to hear it, because you're politically correct and it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. Don't mean I'm going to. That lady out in the hospital said, you ain't take your clothes off. I said, lady, I ain't doing that. She said, I've seen naked people before. I said, you ain't seen me. And it ain't likely to happen. I said, you ain't got a garment? I'm leaving the room. Of course, they gave me a rag. You might as well not have nothing on. But at least I had some covering. Glory. Hello? Somebody said, where'd that come from? It was just in the mind of a note and slipped out. That's one of them I need to kill, I reckon. Glory. But church, I was sitting with a preacher one time. Something come on TV, and I went, oh, man. He said, we're adults. We can watch that. I said, I'm an adult, and I can decide to leave the room. I got to walk out. Next morning, he said, what's your problem? You can't handle something like that? I said, yeah, I can handle it. It's called turn the TV off and leave the room. Hello? A few months later, he was sitting across the table from me in the counseling session because he couldn't handle it. Hello? Y'all need any more information, see me at the church. But he watched a little too much till it took control of him. I said, that's where you're wrong. You think you got it under control, and the truth of the matter is it's got you right where he wants you. That's those walls that are going to eventually imprison you and pull you down until you put them on an altar and say, God, I've had enough. And you have a good old-fashioned killing, and you get rid of them so that you get them out of your life, and you make up your mind, I'm not opening the door for it to get back in. Come on, church. Dumb is somebody tell me they're going to quit smoking one cigarette at a time. Yeah, I didn't smoke but four today. Packs. I cut down. I was smoking five. Ain't long, they back up to five, because you can't quit without just quitting. Hello? Don't look at me like that. I had a four-pack a day habit. I didn't have Nicorette and all that kind of junk. I just had to quit. But I knew from the other things I was quitting, if I didn't quit, I would never quit. Not yet. And you don't think it's tough? Try quitting drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes at the same time. I was a basket case when I was by myself sometimes. Sometimes I was a basket case with folks, because every crutch I was used to having was gone. But I found a new crutch, and I found something new to lean on. And I found a way to get out of Jericho and get the walls torn down. Amen. How many of you today are sitting here with the walls and things around you, and God's trying to send you blessings, and they're bouncing off the walls because he's out there walking around wanting to get in, and he can't find an opening because you won't let your guard down long enough for God to do something in your life because you're too busy talking about, well, I really like this, or I don't think there's anything wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter who you are. You can dance around in any way you want to unless God gets in. He's never going to get you out, and until God gets you out, nothing's ever going to change. But if you can get out of Jericho, there is promised land on the other side of the mountain. There's the glory of God on the other side. Stand with me. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. God, I believe you today. Help us, Lord, to tear down some walls. Help us, God, open up our hearts to you like never before. Holy, holy God.